Morning to you all.
Morning.
Morning.
Preached to you a few weeks ago, and my opening remark was that I enjoyed the refreshment between the two services. And this morning I have four pieces. But they're so airy, eh? So I feel so light, so much lighter. On the way to work Thursday, I was driving on County Road 86, about halfway to Elmira. A deer jumped out from the right and crossed the road. It happened so suddenly that I didn't have time to react. The deer was probably a male and it was big. I have seen deer crossing the road when I drove on Cartwright a few times, but never on this stretch of my travel. Luckily, it didn't hit my car, or else it would cause a lot of damage. The first thing that I thought of was how Steve prayed for me for safety, traveling to and from work. I thank God for Steve's faithfulness in praying for me in this regard, week in and week out. Can I share with Chi about this incident Friday morning at breakfast? And she reminded me of the song, As the Deer. I was already working on my sermon, but there was an incredible tug at my heart's string to switch gear and move in a new direction. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. The song is, of course, based on Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So one thing led to another, and this verse popped into my head. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This morning, I'm going to draw your attention to thirsting after God. It should be the desire of every believer. It should be the intent of every yearning heart. It should be the unceasing action of every saint. Nobody can do it for you. You must experience it for yourself. How much are you thirsting after God? One great cause of failure in Christianity is the lack of thirsting after God. We might be thirsting for anything but Him. We might be lusting after wealth, power and knowledge. We might have an intimate knowledge of the Bible, but do we have an intimate relationship with its author? Be still and know that I am God is on your wish list, but has never become a present reality. We are craving for entertainment, leisure, comfort, easy lives and pleasures of this world. But have you pursued God relentlessly, unceasingly and uncompromisingly, in knowing Him, in loving Him, in serving Him, and in worshiping Him? The prerequisite to thirsting after God is that you must be born again. The unregenerate mind does not realize the darkness that envelops it. One often ignores the cry to be saved, not knowing the danger that one is in. When God's light shines in a sinner's heart, he or she recognizes that his or her life is heading in the wrong direction, with hell being the final destiny. The sinners would acknowledge that they cannot rescue themselves. Salvation is only possible through Christ the Lord who died for them. For the Bible clearly tells us, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any others, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." To be born again, you need to confess that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary to pay for the penalty of your sin. You need to repent of your sins and claim Christ as your personal Savior and have him as the Lord of your life. Once you have been saved, there's an urge, no matter how small or unnoticeable, of knowing God better. There is an inkling of the inadequacy of the present state. There is the unmistakable prompting of the Holy Spirit to learn, to increase, to grow, and to excel. Let's thirst after God for his love, his grace, his mercy, his strength, and his holiness. God's love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God's love is in all encompassing. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love is sacrificial. John 10:15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." God's love is willing. John 10:17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Were the whole realm of nature mine, there was a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Love with an everlasting love. Led by grace, the love to know. Gracious Spirit from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Thirsting after God for his grace. Our salvation comes by God's grace. Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." We have to be prepared and patient to experience God's grace. 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." we have to expect and experience suffering and refining in order to be firmly established in God's grace. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God's grace is for the humble. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God's grace is timely. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's grace is abundant. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. God's grace is energizing. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpour, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there is a flowing, a crimson tide. Brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Thirsting after God for his mercy, our salvation also comes by God's mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are to live our lives remembering God's mercy. Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Heavenly wisdom is full of mercy to those who are in the wrong and to help them find the right way. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It should be our heart's desire to experience God's mercy always. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Thirsting after God for his strength. Instead of living under our own power, let's exchange our strength for God's might. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Source of power comes from our Lord. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Face life with Christ's strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed the peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arm. There's no denying God calls us to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We have to learn to guard against uncleanness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness includes our thoughts and action. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eyes of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. First thing after God is definitely not a one-time thing. First thing after God should not be happening only occasionally. It is a lifelong experience. It is an ongoing journey. The Lord has said in John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I might not know many things. However, there's one thing I know for sure. Thirsting after God pleases Him. A.W. Tozer wrote the following in the preface of his book, The Pursuit of God. Sound Bible exposition is an imperative must in the Church of the Living God. Without it, no church can be a New Testament church in any strict meaning of that term. But exposition may be carried on in such a way as to leave the hearer devoid of any true spiritual nourishment whatever. For it is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God Himself. And unless and until the hearers find God in personal experience, they're not the better for having heard the truth. The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring man to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they may delight in His presence, and may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God Himself in the core and center of the heart. David, can I ask you to close in prayer, and then we will sing 495 in the red hymnal.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you have laid on our brother Chris's heart today. May we all go out into the world and share your gospel with everyone we meet and be not ashamed. Thank you again for this opportunity we've had to gather as a little assembly here in this wonderful country of ours. We ask that you'll part us now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Yeah, 495, turn your eyes upon Jesus.